This morning we're looking at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, as we think of the cross. One of the things as we come and we think of the cross, we think of, first of all, of what took place with Jesus and how that he was crucified on the cross, paid the price for our sin. But I want us to look at the impact that it has just for a few moments in our lives. Galatians 2, 20, Paul writes, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We see the first part of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live." You think about that. Whenever you, the point that you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, you became a new person. It is no longer you. You have been crucified with Christ. The old flesh has become dead. You say, "Preacher, have you looked at me lately? My flesh is still here, and I don't know about you, but there's still battle with this old flesh." Sometimes we forget about the picture and the reality of who we are with Christ Jesus, and that it is no longer us who lives because of what has taken place on the cross. Colossians chapter 2. Hey, it's working now. Praise the Lord. All right. See, it says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses." Have you thought about how many trespasses you've committed? Other translations use the term sin. But it's the debt before Christ that we owed for our sin. We see within our nation right now many times you'll see pictures of the debt for our country. And they say that in each individual comes to the point of owing about $60,000 apiece of debt in our nation. Now, folks, that's what the federal government's in debt for, all right? With my house, that's a little over $400,000, all right, with all those that are citizens within my country. You know what? I don't have a chance of paying off $400,000 in debt. My sin is far much more than that. Against a holy, living God. Folks, when we understand the awfulness of our sin and how that we have sinned against an almighty God, we have come to that point and we see within this text that as we accept Christ as our Savior, as he becomes the Lord of our life, that our debt, the canceling the record of the debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. One of the things we've been studying in our Sunday school class is about handling of money and how that debt is a noose around our neck many times. And we see that within Scripture and how that whenever you owe money, it's kind of like the guy that rides the riding lawnmower on the commercial. He says, "I'm in debt up to my eyeballs." And he's grinning from ear to ear and he looks like he just wishes he could fall off and go under his lawnmower. Folks, that's how we are without Christ. That stone is around our neck of our sin because we know what we deserve. Sometimes people don't realize that within our society because we live in a time where that everybody deserves not to have to do anything and to get everything for doing nothing. But it's the same picture that Christ has paid the price for our sin. And he's canceled that debt. There's a change that takes place. You notice in the second part of that verse, is Christ lives in you. It's because of what took place, because of that transaction that was made on the cross 2,000 years ago, and because of what has taken place within your life as Jesus has become Lord of your life, he lives within you. Folks, let me tell you, as you realize that fact, it should change the way that you live your life. If you say that you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you can go and live like you want to live and it makes no difference whatsoever, you'd better take another look. You know what? I have very rarely, or let me put it this way, I have not had anybody invite me in to a place to do drugs. I never have. Nobody has said, "Preacher, come here. I want to show you where I do drugs, and I want to show you how that I smoke marijuana or how I..." Nobody's done that. I wonder why. I'm not asking for an invitation. Because it's not an appropriate place to take me. And really, I don't want to go. Christ dwells in us. Do you want to take him there? I mean, you think about it. We do not get away from him. We have become new in Christ. We have been totally changed by who that he is. One writer put it this way. He says, it's not like a tadpole changing into a frog. It's like a frog changing into a prince. The whole DNA totally changes. Now, folks, your DNA doesn't change when you become a believer, but who that you are, because the Holy Spirit of the living God comes and dwells within you. And you are a new creature, the scripture tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You are not the same. You are changed. Folks, if there's not been change that has taken place within your life, let me dare question where you're at. You are changed. Adrian Rogers made this statement this way. He said, all things are new. He says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He says, nature forms us. Sin deforms us. School informs us. Prisons reform us. But only Christ transforms us. In Christ we become new. He says a Christian is just not somebody who's become nice. He becomes new. He doesn't just turn over a new leaf. He receives a new life. That's what we are. We are changed radically and dramatically. You have not been replaced with a better you. Your heart has been replaced by Christ. Total change that has taken place. You go and you look in the New Testament, you see the Apostle Paul, as he even wrote this passage of Scripture, the change that took place. He went from a murderous Jewish leader to one that evangelized the world. Folks, has that change taken place within you? A new creature in Christ. We see in the last part of the verse, it says, in life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, the whole reason that you live life has changed. The youth at camp, it was their identity that they studied about. I know I've brought it up two or three times. Man, it's a solid thing to consider and to realize scripturally that we identify with Christ. Folks, it's not with your job that you identify with. Hopefully you identify with your family, but most of all, you identify with Christ. People would call you one that follows Christ before they would call you anything else. And it's great to be called a great family man or great family woman, or it's great to be called a great mother or a great father. All of those things are wonderful things. But our identity should be in Christ. You see, It is not anything else within this life that we identify with primarily. It is Jesus. 2 Corinthians tells us, for the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. He gave his all for you. How do you live? We come this morning and we celebrate what was done on that cross. We're reminded of it because we forget. That's why that within our church we take once a quarter roughly, and we take the whole service and we remind you of the cross. We want you to seriously consider it, seriously realize the reason that you live this life is Christ, and we never forget the cross of Jesus. If you've gotten to that point that you think that the reason that you live this life, or you've gotten wrapped up in the things of this life, are things other than Christ, this service is to pull you back to the realization of the importance of the cross and what Jesus has done for you, and that you live your life in response to Christ. That's what this supper is for. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see instructions about taking the supper. And Paul reminds us once again. He says, for I've received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As you take that cup today, as you take that bread, first of all, what do you remember? What was it like? What he did on your behalf. As he literally suffered, was beaten 39 times, one shy of what was supposed to kill a man. You remember that as you look at that bread. And notice whenever it comes to you, it is broken. Like Jesus was broken. None of his bones, but his body literally was broken. Near death. And then the cup. His blood was shed for you. I mean, it literally dropped on the ground for you. Amazing love. Amazing sacrifice was required for your sin. He gave his life. People say, well, you know what, that was just Jesus. He knew he was going to go through that. He knew, you know what, he knew in 3 days he's going to be back. And you know, what's the big deal? No. We don't understand in that transaction that all of the sin of the world was put upon him, and he suffered that punishment that you and I deserve. And we come and we celebrate that. You say, preacher, that's a crazy celebration. Jesus tells us to do that. You notice he says in the next verse, Paul, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You notice it's not prescribed how often that we do it, but it says as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink the cup. And you proclaim his death until he comes. Never get past the part and the message of the gospel that Jesus died for our sin. There are many within society today that want to wipe away the death and the blood. Folks, it's by the blood that we are saved. by what was done on that cross. We see the admonition that Paul gives here in verse 27 through 29. He says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." You may not have realized that we were going to do this as we came and came to service this morning. We don't do it every service here. And you may not have come prepared. You notice he says, don't take it in an unworthy manner. Every time I say, you know what, none of us are worthy to take of this supper in and of ourselves. None of us. But we don't come here flaunting our sin, unrepentant before the Lord, taking this supper. If there were issues within your life that were the point that would be so severe, the church would deal with you in those issues. Folks, we don't know where you are. Oftentimes, where are you? Don't take this in an unworthy manner. Come worthy as you can as a human being to take this supper. And we see the warning in the last part of the text. He says, that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. King James puts it a lot better. He says, and some of you are asleep. But this is the best translation. There were those that they were sick and they were ill because they came and took of this supper in a flippant manner, enjoying their sin and just wanting to partake in what was taking place. Understand, this is not something that saves you as you take this supper, but it is a realization of what was done on our behalf. He says, but if we've judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Because I'm here to tell you, examination should take place within our lives continually. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us that we're to even examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith that you know Christ. But you examine yourself that you are living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. As we looked at within, I believe it was last week or the week before, that is the utmost goal of our life, is to live pleasing to Jesus. Where are you? Maybe today you need to repent. Maybe in the seat that you're in, maybe you need to come down and just pray at the altars today before you take the supper if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. Maybe you need to do that today. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. And as we've looked at the message of the gospel, you realize you need to know Him as Lord and Savior. The Bible says, repent, turn from your sin, accept Christ as your Lord, the master of your life. And He'll come in. Do you need to do that today? Invitation gives you that opportunity this morning to repent of sin that you know of in your life, that you're just harboring, and you want to repent today. Do it before we take this supper. Maybe you need to come to know Christ as your Savior.